This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. And this is Sci-Fi Talk Weekly for March 28th, 2024, my episode 92. We scour around the internet for news on sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics. And I'm taking a break from the news for a while, so my AI friends will handle it for me. Take it away, Kayla.
Thanks, Tony. Here are the headlines. Zack Snyder on Rebel Moon's bad reviews. Writer Rachel Pollack's favorite stories, the correct order to watch the Man of Steel films, and the burning question, what is a yeoman? There is more sci-fi talk, so stay tuned.
Variety reports that Zack Snyder weighed in on Rebel Moon's bad reviews. I don't really have a rebuttal to the reviews, for whatever reason. The reaction to my movies is very polarizing, and it always has been. The movie, it doesn't seem like there's that much in it that would warrant such visceral responses. I always thought that I was fully armed to take on those punches, and then I read the critics that came down on Rebel Moon, and it really affected me, star Sophia Boutella said about the extremely negative reviews. I'm just gonna be honest about it, I feel like I'm carrying it for everybody that cared so much about this project, and that's what affected me. Not the way I look. If anything, I've been pretty lucky and people like my work in it, but the movie was criticized. More at Variety. This is Penelope reporting.
DC Comics has announced a special edition of two of transgender writer Rachel Pollack's favorite stories, with one that has never been printed before. According to them, DC Pride lineup will include a 96-page special edition, called DC Pride, a celebration of Rachel Pollack. The imprint will include two stories that she wrote, Doom Patrol No. 70, which introduced the first trans superhero. In addition to Vertigo Visions, The Geek. There's also a new short story about her trans superhero that she collaborated on in 2022. She passed away from non-Hodgkin lymphoma. More at them. This is Axel reporting.
iFilm has the correct order to watch the Man of Steel films. Here they are. Man of Steel, 2013. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition, 2016. Zack Snyder's Justice League, 2021. The Flash, 2023. Justice League, 2017. Black Adam, 2022. Writer Jeremy Smith writes, once you're done with the third movie, my recommendation is to skip the dregs of the DCEU and throw on Fleischman Studios. First 9 animated Superman shorts produced between 1941 and 1942. There's yet to be a more visually stunning depiction of the hero, and given Ellsworth's edict, you don't have to worry about him snapping his adversaries' necks. Then go straight to Donner's Superman to remind yourself how this character, at his purest, is supposed to make you feel. Read the original article on /film.
Thanks, Bella. Game Rant looks at the burning question in Star Trek, what is a yeoman? Vrishali Prada writes, the yeoman in Star Trek is a title within Starfleet during the 23rd century, responsible for administrative and clerical tasks, serving as a personal aide to the captain or another senior officer. The yeoman is not a distinct rank, but rather a position that can be occupied by individuals of varying ranks. Janice Rand is one of the most famous yeomen in the series, serving as the yeoman for Captain James Kirk and sharing a complicated relationship with him. The term yeoman originates from the U.S. Navy, where it denotes an enlisted individual responsible for administrative and clerical tasks. In the realm of Star Trek, the yeoman is a title within Starfleet during the 23rd century, prominently featured in the original series and tie-in movies. This role entails serving as a personal aide to the captain or another senior officer, undertaking responsibilities such as carrying a tricorder, retrieving information, announcing arrivals, and delivering meals. Additionally, the yeoman acts as a conduit between the captain and the remainder of the crew, conveying messages and directives. See more at Game Rant, this is Andrew reporting.
Tom's Guide has a story on the new Fallout trailer that has impressed writer Tom Pritchard. If you thought December's teaser trailer was good, then this new one might just blow you away. After being burned so many times by long gestating video game adaptations, I am stunned at just how good the show looks. It's still a little early to make a final judgment on Fallout, but if the writing is as good as the footage in this trailer, then we're in for a treat. I just hope that the final thing is more like The Last of Us and less like Halo, because I will never get over just how badly the showrunners botched that series. But to be totally honest, the rest of the show looks fantastic. We've got mutants galore, the Brotherhood of Steel, power armor and plenty of footage of dogmeat in action. Plus there's the stark contrast between the happy-go-lucky retro-futuristic atmosphere in Vault 33 and the brutal reality of the world outside, where everyone and everything is trying to kill you. More at Tom's Guide. This is Warren reporting.
But what though, reviews Late Night with the Devil. Kate Sanchez writes, beautifully shot and vibrantly colored when on air, Late Night with the Devil keeps you guessing. The audience knows the guillotine is about to fall, but we don't know when or how. Utilizing the resident skeptics, the Cairns duo allows the film to ramp up tension. Tinged with weirdness from the beginning, Late Night with the Devil is an astonishing feat. It continues to show the caliber of horror film that Shudder acquires for distribution. By confining the film to one soundstage, Late Night with the Devil pushes its actors. Without skipping a beat, the film starts as a satire before morphing into a nerve-wracking horror show. The set, costumes, language, and the practical effects work. Everything screams the period that is on display. More importantly, it feels like something you've stumbled upon. Director and writer Cameron and Colin Cairns have made a stellar film that works as a time capsule as much as a modern horror film. More at But What Though. This is Bella reporting.
Sci-fi talk returns in a moment.
Superhero hype looks at Superman number 12. Matt Morrison writes, the current Superman Monthly, written by Joshua Williamson, with art by David Baldion and Norm Rapmund, centers around this unlikely partnership. The series started with an imprisoned Lex Luthor handing control of his company to the Man of Steel. The revamped Supercorp was instructed to assist him in protecting the world. Unfortunately, this coincided with the rise of a new threat. Dr. Farm and Mr. Graft were two new villains with a grudge against Lex Luthor. They formed a Lex Luthor Revenge Squad, recruiting others who wanted to see Luthor humbled. This included Lex Luthor's own mother, whom he kept hidden away from the world in a secret island home, along with his daughter. Their final strike came with the release of a new form of kryptonite that was as lethal to humans as it was to Superman. It was a weapon that Luthor had created but never used. Add Superman number 12 to your pull list. In other Superman news, Collider reports that filming for the final season of Superman and Lois has begun. Tyler Hoechlin and Elizabeth Tulloch have shared on the set photos on their Instagram accounts. This season Yvonne Chapman joins the series as Amanda McCoy with Jimmy Olsen finally cast in Douglas Smith. The series is ending due to the new Superman film. There's not alternate versions of Supes in DC Studios. More at Collider. This is Andrew reporting.
Comic Book Resources looks at Marvel's release of a new X-Men series. Artist Ryan Stegman previewed for fans, 2 pages. Written by Jed McKay, the dead X-Men encounter a swarm of Apocalypse's very own Angel of Death, during their trip through the worst corners of the Marvel multiverse. More at CBR. This is Warren reporting.
Game Rant looks back at Farscape as it celebrates its 25th anniversary. Caitlin Mitchell-Jewett writes, Farscape's unique combination of live-action and puppetry, using puppets created by the Henson Company, makes it a fascinating viewing experience. Several of the show's characters are portrayed by expertly crafted puppets. Among these are two of the main cast, the deposed ruler Rigel 16 and Pilot, the many-limbed being psychically bonded to Moya. The 4 seasons plus the concluding Peacekeeper Wars miniseries included a vast variety of alien races, portrayed by both human actors and puppets, creating a unique aesthetic that still stands out many years later. New or old Farscape fans interested in revisiting the series but unable to catch the Shout TV marathon can also check out the newly released Farscape, the complete series, 25th Anniversary Edition, Blu-ray, also produced by Shout TV. The collection includes all 88 episodes of the original series along with the two-episode The Peacekeeper Wars miniseries. Also included are brand new interviews with the series creators and executive producers, Rockne O'Bannon and Brian Henson. Many Farscape fans, and actors such as Ben Browder and Gigi Edgley, have long hoped to see a revival of the series in some form, and a new influx of viewers in 2024 is something that could make such a revival more likely to happen. More at Game Rant. This is Penelope reporting.
Collider has 11 shows like Star Trek to watch, if you love sci-fi. Farscape, good choice. An astronaut from Earth finds himself aboard the living spaceship Moya as the ship and its crew fight to escape a fascist military operation known as the Peacekeepers. Farscape started in 1999 in an attempt to capture audiences who were losing interest in Star Trek, but unlike Star Trek, the central crew aren't always upstanding citizens. The protagonist, John Crichton, Ben Browder, is a great audience stand-in, with his pop culture retorts and easygoing air about him keeping him relatable. Pitch Black's Claudia Black is there for the fireworks. Babylon 5. Set aboard the titular space station, the space opera Babylon 5 focuses on what happens when humans and aliens must work together to bring peace to a galaxy that's still learning diplomacy. Babylon 5 doesn't hold back on the horrors of war and the toll that it takes, while the show even touches on humanity's darker aspects, with plot lines featuring xenophobic groups as well as the impact of political and religious influences. Look for Tony's Rewind podcast special on the series. Stargate is a sprawling franchise of shows based on the Roland Emmerich film, beginning with Stargate SG-1, which debuted in the late 1990s and remains a favorite among genre fans. Later shows added to the canon of the franchise. The main premise revolves around Earth's discovery of a Stargate, which is a cosmic portal that can ferry humans across vast distances. Of course, human beings decide to exploit this discovery for potential resources, which results in humanity battling aliens, especially the snake-like Go'uld. Stargate is heavy on lore for sci-fi fans to immerse themselves in, but more importantly, the show serves as comfort viewing with a fun and likable cast of characters. More at Collider. This is Bella reporting.
The clock is ticking for Sci-Fi Talk Plus free lifetime access. And you get special features like creating your own playlists from over 1,000 episodes, exclusive videos, and episodes are commercial-free, uncut, and even special programs like Rewind and The Mix 100. The best part, it's free. Click on the link in the show notes for that free lifetime access. But this special offer will expire May 1st, so act quickly. And that is Sci-Fi Talk Weekly for March 28th, 2024, my episode 92. This is Tony Tolato. Thanks for listening.